from my story to your story. Let's talk about grief. I will share my own grief journey, along with interviewing others about their path of sorrow and healing. I hope that you, the listener, will hear something that helps as you navigate your own grief, and that God will be glorified along the way. This content is meant as a discussion and not to give professional help. Let's get started.
Today, I would like to share with you some ways that I believe you can be a blessing and a help to people who have suffered a loss, whether a loved one has passed away or whether they are going through something traumatic. There is something you can do. And if you're looking for ideas, I think you'll be able to find something in this list of things that will be a help to you. When I lost my husband of 34 years, suddenly, at the age of 55, he was 55 when he passed, I was sent into a tailspin. And so were my sons and my daughters-in-law and my grandchildren, his parents, his sister, and her family. You know, we were all just reeling from this loss and the suddenness of it. And we had a network of people that just descended on us from everywhere and loved on us. I cannot say another thing they should have done differently. I was overwhelmed at everything that was thought of, everything from the normal things and how well they were executed to unusual things that I was so shocked that people did for us. And so today I just want in this episode to mention these. And I think the easiest way for me to mention them is just to basically go through a Facebook post that I put out 7 days after Don passed away, because I was so overwhelmed and wanted to say thank you to people before I could even get thank you notes out to them. So on Facebook, I put a public post where I was hoping most of the people would see what I had to write and just know that how appreciated the things they had done for us really were. So I'm going to basically read that post and talk about it as I come to it. I said, I would like to say a public thank you for the outpouring of love as an action in the homegoing of Don. I have been truly astounded at the acts of kindness and support. First of all, for prayer, there is no greater need or deed at this time. Please don't take prayer for granted. If you're a Christian, pray for those who have gone through something traumatic or have lost a loved one. I could feel that people were praying for me. I could feel that God was giving me a strength that was just unexplainable to go through those days right after Don's passing and even further out, but especially right then in the shock of the moment. And so don't take such a small thing for granted. When you say you're going to pray for someone, do it. And remember to do it and tell them you're praying for them, because it really does matter and it's such a blessing. I went on to say, for the attendance of family, church family, friends, and co-laborers to the viewing and funeral. Don was young, 55, when he passed, like I said, and so his viewing and his funeral were large. I was astounded at the people who came from here in town and all around the state and even outside of the state to attend, and it was such a blessing to our family to see how many people's lives he had affected. So I would say to you, if you can go to a viewing or if you can go to a funeral to show support for that coworker or friend or loved one, that church member, that neighbor, then do it if you can. I realize life is busy and it's always easy to say, you know what, really, this isn't a good time. But if you can go, it's such a blessing if you do. And then I go on to say, for those who brought food, paper products, groceries, and gift cards. Now, food is the common thing to take around the time of a funeral, so probably not a lot has to be said about that. But I will say that our church family was so well organized, and it was thought out as to when they would bring food. We had things brought. We had a family descend on our home that Saturday morning after he had passed on Friday and put breakfast out. On that Sunday, we had families who had borrowed a key and gone to our home before we even got home from church and had everything possible we could imagine laid out for lunch for us, even right down to the drinks and the paper products. They had it on chafing dishes and it was hot. And I will say this right here, I'll interject this, disposable is nice. It may not be what you can do or you just think to take it in while it's hot in some sort of dish or whatever, but disposable was nice. They had them on, they had disposable chafing dishes and paper plates and all the things. And, you know, at a time like that, you're not, your memory's not good, you're not thinking clearly. And so not having to figure out what to take back to who was a blessing, so that something just small, spread it out and take it over a variety of days or even over weeks. Talk about it with a network of whoever, people at work or people in your neighborhood or people in your church, whoever's organizing, taking some food to people. Those are some tips for that. In addition to that, I also mentioned paper products and groceries. People brought groceries for us and of things that just basics, you know, bread and milk and eggs and things that were just easy to fix or could just be heated up or thrown in the oven or the microwave, halfway prepared kind of foods. We also had people who, I remember one couple coming on Friday, the actual day that Don died. Now they were closer to us and it was fine that they stopped by, but they came in and saw us and hugged us. And then they go back out to the car and they come in with all of these bags. And I remember even in that moment of deep grief, looking around and thinking, wow, I cannot believe they thought of this. She had boxes of tissues and she's popping the top off and fluffing them. And then she's taking them to every single room. And they were on, so, you know, you turn around and they were on the coffee table. They were on the nightstand. They were in the bathrooms and just so well thought out. She had paper towels. They brought toilet paper and went to the bathrooms and stocked under the counters and those kinds of things. The paper plates, even like to-go cups for hot drinks, not alone cold drinks and plasticware. And I'm sure there was more, but those things just really stand out. And then I remember she also brought a large basket just full of prepackaged, easy to grab snacks that were just great for when the grandkids wanted something, or I could hardly eat at that time. And I remember I lived off of those little peanut butter and cheese Lance crackers and that were in that basket. When I could eat nothing else, I could eat a little pack of those. And everybody kept saying, oh, eat, eat, eat. And I would say, okay, all right, I'll eat a pack of crackers. And that helped get me through. I could only taste the food that people brought. I really couldn't eat a whole plate of food at that time. And so that basket of snacks was a great idea, which was mentioned at that point in this post. I was amazed at how many people handed me a gift card or put money or a check or gift card in a card that they sent us or gave us. And you don't have to do that. You may only be at the level with someone that, you know, just a signed card is plenty. But it was very special to have some people decide to be a blessing to us in that way, whether it be a grocery gift card or a gas gift card, or whether it was even just restaurants. All throughout those first few months, in deep in grief, you could pick up something instead of having to fix it. That was just the gift that just kept on giving. So then I go on to say, for those who have sent cards, flowers, monetary gifts, and gift baskets. So I'll go back to flowers and gift baskets. I haven't really elaborated on those. But I do remember one thing in particular that I thought was very well thought out, and that was the alumni, a group of people that graduated either with or in and around Don from high school, sent a silk floral arrangement that was a grave saddle. And that I just thought that was so long-lasting, as the only way I know how to put it. It was a fall-looking arrangement. He passed in September, and I had it on the table as a centerpiece for a while. And then once his grave marker came in, I was able to go put that. I already had that, and that saddle of flowers was able to go on his grave. And I even was able to use it for more than one fall season. And then I have gift baskets. A church across town, their ladies group does this for people. And for me as a pastor's wife, they got together a gift basket and dropped it off on my porch. The basket itself was beautiful, and so it was useful for later. But in it was a very cozy blanket. I think it was Sherpa backed. I still have the blanket. And I was amazed, like sitting there, even whether crying, whether I cried all the tears I could cry, whether I was just numbly sitting there watching a movie, whatever. I remember being able to bring that blanket up around my face and the coziness of it. And there were warm socks in there, and there were hot teas, things for a bath, you know, like a bath bomb or bath salts. There were scented candles, just a lot of the things that kind of minister to all the senses, I would say, you know, the feeling, the smelling, the touching, the tasting. And it was just so well thought out. And I received a couple of different baskets of things like that, that I felt like people just, that was a nice thing to do when you're trying to think of different ways to be a blessing to someone. And then I said, for those who have hauled trash away, you say, what? My neighbor noticed that our trash cans were full and it wasn't anywhere near the day for trash pickup. And I remember realizing that he went to the end of the drive that we shared, put those trash cans in on the back of his truck, took them to the dump, emptied them, brought them back, never said a word. What a blessing that was, that, you know, something so normal, we did not have to even think about how are we going to take care of this, or send a family member who was grieving heavily to go take care of it. Just a small thing, but a necessary thing. And then I went on to say, put coolers of drinks on our porch. We had family friends who lived in the neighborhood right down the street. They came and put two coolers on our porch. They were filled with drinks. One was filled with water bottles. One was, you know, like sodas and lemonade and teas and those kinds of things. And they had iced them down and just left their coolers on the porch full of drinks. And not only that, 2 days later, they came back and drained all the water out, put more drinks in there, and then turned around and put more ice on it. And better part of a week or two, we had all the drinks we could ever need for whoever came in and out of there. And that was so well thought out and such a neat thing to do. And then I went on to say, watered flowers and let the dog out. Again, just thinking about the everyday mundane tasks that must be done. You can't just stop doing them because someone passed away. I mean, you can, but there's consequences. So, you know, whether it's mowing grass and watering flowers and taking trash, coming in and cleaning, all those kinds of everyday tasks that people need help with. Or I remember with ours, when I say let the dog out, when we went to the viewing, we were gone all day and all evening. And instead of one of the family members having to stop and go back and take care of that, this family friend said, oh, you know, just give me a key. I'll go by at such and such time and take care of it. And again, such a small thing, but so needed. Then I have, for those who called every church member about Don's passing, instead of them hearing it randomly, went to a member's house to tell them personally, provided pizza for the staff while they were stunned on Friday. You know, all of that applies directly to Don being a pastor. So this may not make much sense, but I do think you can take from it trying to think through what people need at that moment. I regret that I put a post up about Don's passing, trying to get word out across the board. I put it up too quickly. I mistakenly thought that the staff at our church already knew about Don passing that morning, and put that post up to allow far more people to understand what had just happened and answer questions in a broad way. And I know people understand that you do things, you're not thinking clearly at that moment, but some of our staff members that work in our Christian school or on our church staff found out about his passing by just taking a, you know, a glance at their phone and realizing it on Facebook. What an awful way to find out. But as soon as the first few people started finding out, we had some church members who dropped everything they were doing, went to the church, got the phone numbers of people, and just started calling every church member, trying to make sure they found out through a personal phone call. We had some church members that they were afraid would be so upset or might not be able to reach them that they actually went to their home and told them in person. And even, I said, visits, calls, text. I had received many texts, many phone calls. And even if you just leave a voicemail, you know, the person will know whether or not they want to answer the phone at that time, or if someone's answering it for them. You might be able to text or call a family member and leave a message with them. And even depending on how close you are to the people who are suffering the loss, it may be appropriate for you to go by and visit them. I would say that at that time, if depending on how close you are, it's probably best not to overstay, and they may not remember much of what you've said. But again, we did have people come by, and I did cherish everyone that did, and they were a blessing to us in our lives. So going on, I said, for those who have donated to the youth at our church, that's because we did put up that was a way, you know, to be a blessing, was in lieu of flowers, make donation to the youth at the church. And so that's another way. Just instead, do what the family ask. Instead of doing this, do this and be a blessing to whatever cause that the person, they're asking you to do something for that person in memory of them. It's for the flower memorial placed in Don's parking space. This was a really neat thing that was done, and it won't apply to everybody, but it might apply to your work or something like that. On Saturday night, my three sons and myself, we talked about how we wanted to go over to the church and go in the auditorium without Don, without everyone there. In other words, we didn't want to walk in on Sunday morning and in front of everyone, just this, I don't mind crying, but just, you know, a devastating meltdown that Don was not there. He was my husband, their father, but our pastor, he was not there. He was not in the pulpit. He was not where we always saw him. And we knew that would be traumatic. And so we discussed it. And Saturday evening, the four of us said, you know what, let's just go over to the auditorium and let's just go in there now, just the four of us. So we come into the church parking lot, and we come around behind that building to where the staff parked and where Don's parking space was. And when we rounded that corner, in that parking space, someone had taken the time to have it ready for Sunday. They had put, it was again, it was fall. They put this pumpkin with a sign on it that said, in memory of Pastor. And then they had surrounded it with, you know, buckets of mums and buckets of fall flowers. And they had basically just laid out this beautiful arrangement in his parking space, in his memory. And that, I remember when we, yeah, this one's going to get me. When we got out of the car, I remember myself just going to my knees and just laying there crying. And then I remember my sons, you know, looking over, and they were doing the same thing. It was such a touching thing and such a good way for us to just let go of our grief and just sob, because that's what grief does. It grabs you and it surprises you. You know, it surprised us that something as simple as driving up to his parking space and seeing it empty, and yet it wasn't empty. It was done up as a memorial to him. That was so precious to us. So I say that because you just never know the magnitude of each thing that you do. You don't know how it's going to affect someone. I could use one of those tissues right now, yeah. So you don't know how deep whatever small thing you did might really go. And that, you know, you could do that with someone's parking space at work if they have a place where they parked all the time, or put something on someone's desk where they worked or whatever. You know, there's all different ways to make a little memorial. You see people do that for people, but that was really special service. And the story so many have shared with us about the impact Don had, you know, don't ever discount telling someone what you remember about their loved one or what their loved one meant to you. That is very special. One of the emotions you go through after you lose someone is just this fear that they're going to be forgotten or that they didn't matter to people, that the world is just going on without them. And to some extent, it has to go on without them. But you expressing your feelings about that person, what you remember about them, what you loved about them, it's a big deal. Take the time to do it here. I will say that not everybody wants someone to stay with them, but I could not function well. And my own sons and my daughters in love and my grandkids stayed with me for probably a week. Some of my extended family from West Virginia stayed with me during that week. But I remember that as everyone went home, they had to. My sister stayed on for a few weeks, one that was able to. And then she traded places and my mom came and stayed a few more weeks. And that was such a blessing because they helped with just the basics. You know, I didn't have to always think about what to fix for food or paying bills. You know, sit down, help me make sure I didn't forget something or run to the store for something, take care of basic household tasks, the dog, all the things. And you just have to see what people want. You know, you may be free to go and stay with someone or help for a few days or even overnight. They may want that. They may not want that. Hopefully they'll be honest with you about it. But that is something that, what in my case, was a very special blessing to me. And then as I go on, I said, for my kids who have been unbelievable, even in their own grief, not an ill word, going to cry here again, not a disagreement about how things should be done, not a moment they haven't been there. You know, death can bring out the worst in families. I don't know why. And as a pastor's wife, I've seen a lot of drama in families around the time of a death. And it's awful. And so I will say this to you. Whatever's going on in your life, set it aside. Because the way my sons worked together to help me make decisions, the way they planned their dad's funeral and were right there with me and Pop as we went to the funeral home. You know, one son, who is a preacher, was able to preach his own dad's funeral. But the other two sons were also right there with me. You know, when they have you leave so they can close the casket. I remember they had talked about it. I didn't know it. They knew it. But the youngest son walked me out and then back in and was there like my protector and held me up. And the other two sons, I didn't know it at the time, but when I went back to watch the video, they, instead of the funeral home directors doing it, they stepped up and took their dad's ring and said their goodbyes, and together they closed the casket. And not everybody can do that, and it's fine. It's perfectly fine if you can't. But to have all three sons involved like that, and yet watching over me, is priceless. I mean, I couldn't have felt more loved. So I would say to you, don't have regrets around the time of someone's death and funeral by making it a drama. Don't make it about you or what you need or something from the past. Just set those things aside. I'm not saying we had things right then that we had to set aside. I'm just saying if you do, set them aside and don't show honor and love and respect to that person who's passed away, and don't make their death a time of family drama. I was so, so blessed and will always be ever grateful that my kids, my grandkids, our family, an extended family, were loving and kind to one another at that moment in our lives. And we don't have to look back on that and just say, oh, that was, you know, such a traumatic thing or awful time, above and beyond the awful trauma of losing someone that you love. Joy singing, that's my daughter-in-law. And by the way, if someone in your family sings and they feel like they can't sing at the funeral, an idea would be, we've had some family members who've done this in the past, to record it and play it at the funeral if they can't do it during the funeral. But what a blessing to have Joy sing. And she broke during it, and it didn't matter. It was beautiful. My daughters in love helping me at the house, all while helping their husbands in their grief and taking care of their children and responsibilities, and grandchildren hugging me and comforting me. We'll have a whole episode where I plan to interview grandchildren and talk about grief from their standpoint. They were such a blessing with all their hugs and loves. And then I said, I'm sure I'm missing some, and I will thank each in a personal way, but I felt the need to post this here. It has just been so unbelievable. I love you all. And, you know, I don't know your situation, but I do know that if you're hearing this and you know someone that is grieving, you can choose to be a blessing to them. It will be remembered and they will be thankful for it. So today, you know, we're told in the scriptures in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with those that weep. So let's show compassion and love, sympathy and empathy for those who are grieving. And let's come up with ways to make sure that we let them know that they are not alone.
We appreciate you joining us today at Speak Your Grief with Sonia.
At Speak Your Grief with Sonia.
Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube as new episodes are added weekly. Thank you again for joining us as we unpack our grief. We hope you have been reminded that you are not alone in this journey.